Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
You may be seated. A little while, Christ Jesus uses that phrase over and over again, the disciples along with him, but Jesus uses it to bring comfort to his disciples as they are gathered on Maundy Thursday, that Good Friday was coming. Christ Jesus would indeed, as the Good Shepherd, lay down his life for the sheep, suffering all things under the wrath of God and of the Romans, who served as God's authority to be honored on the earth. That Christ Jesus suffered as one who has been punished unjustly. That he suffered in order to be the very grace of God shown to us, our forgiveness and our salvation. The disciples needed encouragement. Jesus taught them many things that night. Today's lesson teaches them about how short the time was going to be from the cross to the resurrection to the ascension. It was just a little while. That our Lord had to accomplish this work of salvation by himself, for he was sent for that purpose, to be the blood sacrifice for sin. All sin, the disciples' sin, your sin, that he was going back to the Father by way of the cross, that you who are baptized into him have begun to understand this way to the Father, for because you have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. The disciples followed this as well. The comfort was that no matter what was happening in the world all around them, Jesus would not forsake them, even if he went away for a little while. The disciples would benefit from his going back to the Father. And as we shall hear, they would benefit then from his sending of the Holy Spirit. But nowhere in all of that did Christ ever abandon them or leave them to their own resources or their own strength. He would not let them grow faint and weary and exhausted by trying to run the race on their own. No, his work was to forgive them and to give them a new life, new strength, a new home. His work made them strangers and exiles in this world. Christ Jesus is faithful to his word. He went away for a little while. He then appeared to them, of course, on that first Sunday evening and fulfilled his promise that upon seeing him, their hearts, their sorrow would be turned to joy. And the joy of the risen Christ, the victorious Christ, that joy was not like the world's kind of joy. The world's joy is too based upon the flesh and its passions. No, the joy of the Lord is a holy joy, deeply rooted in the finished work of Jesus. That he has done just as he said, and his promises are to be trusted in everything. This is our joy. It is deep for the Christian, so deep sometimes that the world cannot dig far enough to try to steal it away. It is based upon the promises of Jesus that we have our little while here on this earth as well. It's called our earthly life. It is our time in this very strange place to be God's own children, set apart from the ways of the world, grounded not in the strength of men, but in the strength of God himself. The same God who was crucified, died, and was buried, and rose again on the third day. We have a little while based upon this word of Christ, who promised at the close of the Scriptures, "Behold, I come quickly." It was that kind of word from Christ which enabled the saints of old to endure all sorts of evil things at the hands of the world. That St. Paul exhorted the Christians in Rome to endure all things, for these momentary sufferings and momentary afflictions are nothing to be compared to the glory that will be revealed at the day of our Lord. Those same Christians read from Paul his final greeting that Christ will soon put Satan under their feet. That St. John exhorted the Christians at the end of the first century that Jesus was coming soon. That the Spirit over and over reminds the baptized that Jesus has promised to return soon. It is that mind and that same judgment that St. Peter exhorts the Christians in his first epistle lesson, exhorts them to Christian living. Now he's speaking this to Christians who are living under Roman rule. They are persecuted Christians, hated by the world and all those around that. Note then he first off begins our lesson by calling them beloved. Christians, that's you, are beloved of God. That you know this because Christ is the love of God for you. You have been baptized, and in that water God placed that nickname upon you. You are beloved. You are His own. But that makes you strangers here. Exiles even in this world. This means, of course, that this place is not your home, even though it tries extremely hard to make you think so. So when persecutions come, we often fall into earthly reactions, reactions of vengeance and seeking out our rights and what's ours. But yet St. Peter doesn't encourage that. The prophet Isaiah, in fact, doesn't either. He testifies that such earthly living is an accusation against God, that God isn't really paying attention, that God doesn't really care, or that somehow God has forgotten what your rights are. But Isaiah rebukes that idea that we can get through this by our strength. No. All the quote-unquote churchly efforts out of persecution and enduring suffering will fail as the strength of those actions is earthly. The Christian strength is always eternal and it is always found in Christ, and so the earthly response is not our best bet. Instead, St. Peter tells us to not follow after the passions of the flesh which wage war against our souls. He then exhorts Christians to act proper in front of the pagans, to act honorable, to do good. That way, if the pagans want to speak ill of you, and they will, that your works will testify of a different word, the word of God which instructed you of your freedom in Christ, freedom to love and to serve and to suffer unjustly, a word then which glorifies God. That your good works, it says, will silence the ignorance of the fools who dare to oppose God. You see, when pagans see the genuine good works of the Christian, it will bring glory to God, either now if they hear the word and repent, or on the last when they realize just who Jesus really is. That people, pagans included, are paying attention. And our conduct as Christians should be as the beloved of God, strangers and exiles in this world. That we should have peculiar lives that draws others to hear the word, which gives us motivation to do the good that they see us doing. That our lives are lived in love for others in this world, not in seeking out our rights or our selfish ambitions, not in having our views align with the world's hateful and murderous and warmongering ways of vengeance, conquest, and right-seeking. No, in fact, our Lord suffered unjustly, and it was a gracious thing. And the Holy Spirit today tells us that when we suffer unjustly, it is a gracious thing as well. a gracious thing. That's a good thing. No matter what others might want to counsel you on this matter, the Holy Spirit is plain that to suffer for being a Christian, to endure hardship and sorrow as a beloved child of God whose Savior's return is coming soon, it's a gracious thing. So in this little while, we hold to the words of the Holy Spirit, all the words, that sin is still going to be declared by Christians to be sin, that sins of the flesh are especially going to be spoken of as evil and as wrong, that even though they are popular and becoming more and more legal, and that those who oppose them are looked down upon by the world, we still confess God's word. That fornication, cohabitation, divorce, all matter of perversity, homosexuality, other gross and perverse things, and yes, that the world is going to slander us for it. It will hate us for it. It will do other things for it. But that is exactly where St. Peter would encourage you to be the beloved children of God, serving others humbly, meekly, enduring all matters of hardship for the sake of Christ, that you would honor even those who hate you, that when St. Peter extolled the Christians to honor the emperor, do you think it had anything to do with how good the emperor was towards him? But yet also that the same Peter said we must obey God rather than men when the government commanded sin. You see, the emperor at Peter's time was Nero, and Nero was not known for good government. That St. Peter himself died at the command of Nero, and yet St. Peter told Christians to be so heavenly minded that the evil conduct of the earthly government was not so important as the coming day of Christ, a day on which Christ would show them their true home, a day in which Christ would show them where their true citizenship was to be found. But that's what's waiting for you as you wait for Him. That no matter how the affairs of this world work out, with all of its power struggles, all of its wars, all of its persecutions, all of its bad government, unjust decrees, plotting against the Lord and against His anointed, that it cannot change your status as a beloved child of God, baptized into Christ, forgiven of all your sins, sent forth to let your light shine before men, doing good unto all in order that your God would be glorified, that you would be mindful of God, the Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, who does not grow faint or weary, whose understanding is beyond anything we can grasp, and that being mindful of Him, you would endure your struggles, your hardships, your sorrows. For this God that we have, He gives power to the faint. He gives strength to them who has no might. And He gives grace to those who are humble. One has no better example of all of this than our Lord Jesus Christ. That Christ suffered unjustly. That Christ suffered unjustly for the sake of everyone else. That He did not demand His rights as true God, the second person of the Trinity, but He laid down His life out of love for others. That when He was slandered by others, accused wrongly, that even today, as He is slandered by others, His works speak a different reality than the lies of the enemy. And He glorified the Father, who He returned to, where He now lives and reigns over all things by His glorious might. in you, beloved. He has forgiven you everything, even those past sins of the flesh and its evil passions, even your sins of worldliness and infatuation with the things of this life, that He gives you grace for the evil days we live in, as He appointed you to live in this strange land amongst all of its evil. But because it is the Lord who has done this, we know that it is good. For all that Jesus does, all that Jesus puts His hand to, is good. And this is just a little while until He returns, and will by Himself and by His own strength and might, He will repay what has been paid upon His brothers and sisters, His beloved. That great and that glorious day will be filled with rejoicing from our lips, even if now for a little while your joy is hidden away in Christ until His reappearing. Honor everyone, St. Peter says, even those you don't think need it. Love the brotherhood, Peter says. That's your fellow church members. Fear God. That is to fear God alone. To honor authorities over you on this earth. But in all of this, and this little while you are here on this earth, remember that you are beloved. Remember you are sojourners and exiles. Remember who you belong to. And be mindful of Him. Alleluia, Christ is risen.